Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, I still have a chance to fall into 5K a day. All you need to do is download the Odyssey app, listen for one measly hour. What? And you will be entered to win your share of $5,000 a day. We don't give that away until all the money is gone. But again, just download the Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. Log in so they know you're there. Mm-hmm. Listen for 1 hour to this fine radio show. And you have a chance to win $5,000. It is just that easy. Okay, there's a random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's
random,
room.
Random.
Hello, Gary.
Random.
Hello, my brother.
Hola. Gary, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
We got you. Uh-oh. Yes.
All righty. All right.
Okay, Gary, our last caller, Taylor, just said that...
I'm still here. Okay. Sucking down a men's room.
Well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate that, Gary. Our last caller said he'd given the Heimlich maneuver twice in his lifetime, and the look of panic on the faces kind of freaked him out. So, have you ever choked, or what did you almost choke on?
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
What did you choke on?
Me? Oh, no. I had a coughing event once that scared the heck out of me. I was a CPR instructor for 25 years before I retired. So I know, and I have performed. When I was 16 years old, I performed CPR on an old man that got hit by a bus in front of me on my way to work. And from then on, I was like, I'm going to, continue this. Now, CPR now is like, Good Samaritan rule. You don't have to know it in this state, but they've eliminated the compressions. You just do breaths now.
Okay, so no more chest compressions, just breaths.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you just want to get the oxygen in there.
Okay, all right. Because I remember even with life-saving, that was different to get water lodged out of, hopefully not the lungs, but right. out of your stomach. And that involved back blows.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of different ways.
That's old school, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They change it all the time. Have you ever almost choked?
Yeah, I almost choked on, I don't know what it was. It was like a pollen outburst attacked me, and I was like, I can't breathe. And I drank water, and eventually I could breathe again. But that was the only time I'd ever choked. And okay. I do know how to do the Heimlich on yourself. You need a chair.
Yeah, you do.
I was going to ask, can you do the Heimlich on yourself? Okay, so I got a chair. Yeah. I'm choking. Now what do I do?
And just lunge your right in your right there under your
rib cage.
Gosh, I forget the name of it, but right there in the sort of plexus. You want to just hoof that stuff out.
Yeah. I worst one I ever had was back to the Ice Cube tray days. And I was probably 10, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I swallowed a big ice cube. And it just stuck, sat there. And I'm like, okay, this thing's... And I kept trying to swallow and swallow. And for some reason, the way it, where it was, the mechanism to swallow, it was right at that point.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. And then eventually, I could kind of feel it sliding down. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I could not breathe. And then it melted.
I would say, at least with an ice cube, yeah, if you could wait long down enough.
But it was still just the panic of that thing melting. It freaked me the hell out.
I did it just like a week ago. It was nothing big. Just, again, just something, you know, like when you, and like, then it goes down, you're like, why am I not chewing my food?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I do that to myself a lot.
Yep.
Just like, man, just chew your food more.
Well, just, yep. I mean, even if it just, you just know when it's too big. And it just, I don't know about you, it scares you. Then you're like, I got to really chew it.
And it kind of hurts because it's like just stuck in your chest, man.
Yeah. Reese, we asked, what did you almost choke on? Florida researchers tracking snakes in the Everglades were recently treated to quite an impressive feat. A female Burmese python devouring a 77-pound white-tailed deer whole. They released the footage of when they made their discovery, showing the python's mouth stretched to 93% of its maximum gape. Life Science, they published a research paper in the Reptile and Amphibian Journal.
Where everyone's getting their information.
Sure. These are things you don't see every day. The researchers hovered a few yards back from the python with part of the unmoving deer sticking out of the snake's wide open mouth. It felt like we were literally catching the serial killer in the act. And it was intense in real time. This was the most intense and impressive sight we have observed in 12 years of tracking pythons in southwestern Florida. The outlet notes the python was about 15 feet long, weighed about 115 pounds, while the deer was, damn, 77 pounds. So 67% of the snake's mass.
Did you see the picture?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They say the Burmese python first started in the Everglades in the late 70s and has since basically gone to town on Florida's wildlife with no natural predators to take it down. Experts believe now there are hundreds of thousands of them.
Oh, God.
In the state. And the researchers, they weren't surprised this snake scarfed down a deer just the size. Scientists previously thought the maximum mouth gape for a python was about 8.6 inches, a figure that's now been upgraded, even though this python had a bigger one, to 10.2. Just saying that most should be able to do 10.2.
The picture is absolutely ridiculous.
And so, I mean, that thing could just swallow humans whole.
Yeah, well, remember, there's a lady in, I don't know if it was a python or whatever it was. Was it in India or something where... The snake, the lady disappeared. They couldn't figure it out. And then they see a snake with a human-shaped lump in its body. And they said, I believe that's the woman. So they killed the snake, opened it up. And there she is. I want to say pocketbook and all, like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By the way.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. No, I was the wrong button.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fired up out of nowhere.
This week went by quick.
Man, I feel good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ted versus the FCC coming up.
Positive Friday.
Let's get out of here.
Get a drink.
It's okay.
So thirsty.
The guy that just called in, he did CPR training for 25 years.
Yeah.
These are the texts that came in after his call. It's just compression breath. The breaths are optional. This guy's just completely backwards. Mouth to mouth is no longer recommended. It's just chest compressions. It's inaccurate about CPR. You can do the hands only, no breaths. You just need to keep the blood pumping through the system doing compressions. I'm certified through the American Heart Association. Pretty sure he had that backwards. Glad he wasn't my CPR instructor. Mm-hmm. This guy's completely wrong. It's the other way around. You do compressions, not breaths any longer. And then it goes on and on and on and
Well, it used to be 5-1 or 15-2.
I think it was like 10-2 or 15-2. We literally have somebody on the line who called up wanting to. They work in healthcare.
Yeah,
please.
They're down for the random question as well, but they wanted to clear
when
that
he
up.
Said that, I thought it sounded wrong, but I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to correct
him. I don't know. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in a situation where I need it, even if you're not trained, do your best.
Yeah.
I'll be cool. Random. Hello, Jesse. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Jesse, you want to clear up the CPR thing information we just got?
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. That was
okay.
Not even
like,
nearly.
Horrified with what I was hearing. Okay, good. Yep. All about compression.
Okay. Well, that's good to
know. So do the compressions, not the
breaths. I heard it on the men's room and my dad died.
Right.
That's all we need. That is all we need. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you this one. This might be a strange question, but as an adult, Have you kept or do you own any toys?
That's embarrassing.
Why?
But what kind of toys are we
collectibles?
About?
Toys that your kids could see, not sex toys.
Yeah, well, you might
get head out of the toilet
on a display case. Yeah, not that, those type of toys.
You're a doctor,
not
you
adult
could save
toys.
Lives. How about your own soul?
Yeah.
No doctor, no adult toys.
Let's see. I'm a soccer coach, so I just have a ton of soccer balls. Soccer
cones.
Equipment. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
All right. Well, that's a game that most, you know, a lot of adults don't play.
But so. Would you have those if you were not a soccer coach?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm a big fan, too. So I do have some signed soccer balls and stuff like that.
All right. So you have some collectibles. Now, who assigned your soccer balls?
Oh, I have a ball that was signed from the Sounders team. And I have one that was signed by a Manchester United player.
Oh, wow.
Well, which one?
Pretty special. It was Nemanja Vidic.
All right. Do you have any jerseys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of jerseys.
Are you wearing one tonight?
I will be, but unfortunately just watching from my couch.
Yeah. Well, you can still,
doesn't
you
stop
still,
me.
Still fly the flag.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I look the same at home as I do at the game if my team was playing. I'm wearing the exact same game.
So, as a coach of a soccer team, are you responsible for buying 10 soccer balls, the bag? Is that on you as the coach to have your team supplied with the things they need, other than shin guards and stuff like that?
No, it's not. Luckily for me, I work for a club that provides that kind of stuff, but I just have to thank the rec coaches that do provide that sort of stuff. I mean, they're just like teachers, you know, that end up having to provide things for their classrooms.
Okay.
So, and now, shout out to them.
Do you have any, like, bobbleheads or anything, being that you're kind of sports heavy here?
My husband, I think he's got a Seahawks bobblehead. I don't have any of those.
I would say the easiest one most adults, I don't care, well, Frisbees.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably got a Frisbee. But, you know, but, okay, so you're talking about soccer balls and all that. If they qualify as toys, if you go in my garage, you got baseballs, baseball gloves, badminton net, volleyball net, couple of volleyballs, basketballs. So, I mean, like, all the sports stuff, pickleball crap, I mean, you name it.
Do you, does your husband, does he have any collectibles or toys?
Not that he display. Oh, you know, he's got a ton of comic books, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
There we go. Do you risk? Do you wash the little cancer balls off of the stuff before you put it in your car from the fields?
I try to bounce them once or twice, but I should probably do a better job.
Okay. Yeah. That's all you need is a kid with an open wound sliding on that ground.
And thank you for being a soccer coach. As my kid plays soccer. I know you guys, but how old are the kids that you coach soccer with?
It varies by year. I've coached from 5 years old all the way to high school seniors and college, but my favorite is probably ages 11 to 13.
All right.
They still respect you. They still look up to you.
Is that so still
and they're being competitive?
Is that still the spread and center game? Is that the game they're playing?
The what?
Spread out and try to center the ball. Is that still?
Oh no, man, 11, 12, 13. You're playing soccer now.
You are.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, by age 10, it's now 11 on 11. You play a position. You need to be in your damn position, right? Because you're talking about like the 5 year olds. Basically, you are there. Let's face
it. Apart.
5 year old soccer players are the equivalent of having goats. They do lawn maintenance. They're pulling dandelions. They're kicking rocks off the field. They're not really playing soccer so much, but they do a lot for kind of keeping the green at an even level. And then when they hit about 8, it seems like they start to understand, okay, I can pass you the ball if not all of us are in the exact same place at the same time.
Okay. The reason we ask you, own any toys, the toy industry has sights set on a brand new market. It's called Kidults. And the term has become an industry buzzword. Nostalgia and collectible toy purchases by grown-ups, from Hot Wheels all the way to Barbies to Lego sets, they are reshaping the way that the toy industry is working.
Did they just figure this out?
The Los Angeles Times reports that adult toy purchases remain on an upswing in the U.S. It's about 25% of sales, depending on the brand. Some are way higher than that.
Sure.
And continue to show promising numbers. Adults spent $7 billion on toys for themselves. during the 12-month period ending in June 2024.
Yeah.
$7 billion.
That's like three Lego sets.
Mm-hmm. Toys bought for adults in the U.S. beat all other age groups, including preschoolers for the very first time. They said while pandemic buying per adult customer were on toy companies' radar, Kidults have always been around. Hasbro was early to embrace the adult customer long before Kidult became a buzzword. For example, Hasbro is seeing a spike in the sale of G.I. Joe action figures, including the pricier collector's series called G.I. Joe Classified. But the toys most treasured by grown-ups include Pokemon, Star Wars, Lego Star Wars sets,
mm-hmm.
Squishmallows.
Yeah, Squishmallows.
Stuffies.
Yeah, and you can get those at Costco.
And Funko Pops. What are Squishmallows?
You see it, dude, it's like a real ugly... Remember Weebles? Remember what they look like versus Fisher-Price?
Yeah.
So picture that kind of egg shape.
Yeah.
They're very soft. They're very comfortable. As an adult, I would not dream of having it, but I did see a couple of adults... The last time I took a flight, there were a couple of adults and Squishmallows.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, it's like our neck pillow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, actually... That makes sense. So my daughter has a few of them. One, because that's what she likes, but also, I mean, she lays on them, does the whole thing. As far as Legos go, like, look, man, your kid can be into Legos, but for how much they charge now, you're probably buying it for yourself, and you're just going to have your kid help. Because when we were growing up, you know, $15 for a Lego set, and it wasn't like any specific thing you're supposed to build. It was just the bricks.
What did you tell me the Millennium Falcon was?
That was, so some guy, I guess, just completed, it took, mm-hmm. what, 12 hours?
12 hours.
To put it together, and that thing... It's like $1,200, $900, something like that. And I'm like, you're not buying that for your kid.
Yeah, he said it's harder with the curved Lego pieces to put that stuff together.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, and it's detailed. Look, I'm not a big Lego guy, but when my daughter was into it, she would sit at the dining room table 4 hours straight, put them together. It was a great thing. But then the prices, I noticed, kept going up for this level of sophistication, man. So it's like... It got to the point she really wanted to buy the London Skyline Lego set. It's probably like 5 years ago. And I said, look, man, I'm not trying to dump a ton of cash on this, but I'll tell you what. Count up your birthday money, and I'll meet you halfway on that, right? Whatever you've got, mm-hmm. I will double that. She's like, cool. So I get up the next morning, and she has recruited her brother to help her count the money. He's counting the coins. She's counting the bills. I did not know that she had $270 in... birthday money, Christmas money, whatever. But it was all hers. And my wife's like, look, you made the deal. I'm like, I did. So she got like a $500 Lego set. To her credit, she sat down, she put it together. But I would never dream of spending that much money on something like Lego.
Now, when you're done with it, do you keep it put together and put it on the shelf? Or do you put it back in the box like a puzzle?
On my insistence, it stayed out on display for a while. I'm like, we're not going to deconstruct this and put it back in the box. Like, okay. It's a lot of damn money, but now she's kind of grown out of it, and we pass it on to other people. But yeah, they are not cheap.
By the way, you hear me talk about all the time. I love G.I. Joe's growing up. So I just looked up this classified series. It's basically, they're just like, here's the G.I. Joe's for dudes like my age, or like you grew up with.
No, they don't have any different gear or anything like that. Nobody's got a rocket launcher.
I mean, they... Some of the vehicles and stuff, I guess they had just stopped making them or whatever.
All right.
But yeah, basically, I'm just like, oh, yeah, these are just like... And
are they smart, big ones or the small ones?
The small ones.
All right.
But good thinking, right? Because like the aircraft carrier, I could never get that. But as an adult, they'd be like, hey, man, you got that 500 now?
Because remember, sure. It bugged you as a kid. Somebody here says, I just bought an AT-AT set for $900. Star Wars fans know what that is. Yep. $900 Christmas gift for his wife. My buddy's wife has a full bedroom in their house full of toys. Bookshelves full of those Squishmallow things. This is the big jigsaw puzzles. Not a big puzzle person either, but those are huge.
AT-AT was on Hoth, right?
Yeah, the big walking four-legged things.
More of the Random Question coming up, 206-80.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Three Rock.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
KISW proudly presenting live day Friday night, December 13th at Showbox Solo. Everything will be live. Daily Migs Morning Show. Chance for you to beat Migs. You'll play live Big Dummy with us. Ted versus the FCC. Bad Choice Friday. Commercials. Music. Every single thing will be live on stage. And you will be a part of that with our live studio audience. Tickets on sale now. KISW.com. All right, it's a random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Hola.
Justin, welcome to the show.
Let's see. What's your random question?
How about this one? Justin, where did you get lost and for how long were you lost?
Huh. That's kind of a tough one.
Never been lost before.
I mean, not really ever since I had... I mean, there's been times where my phone died and didn't really know where I was and had to drive around until I could get directions. But okay. I've never really been
lost.
GPS and everything.
I don't even know the last time someone's asked me for directions just with the rise of the cell phone. And it used to be every day, if you walk through any town at some point, someone, hey, man, do you know where blank is? You give them the directions. Now, I mean, pull out the phone, they're done, they get where they're going.
Did you ever get lost as a child? When you were someplace with your parents?
I have a slight memory of getting lost in like a Fred Meyer, and then my mom had to, I had to go and find, and we, you know, I had to do the whole intercom, found your kid thing.
Yep. But one time.
Not a very clear memory of it.
I've never seen my mom look as angry at me as when I just got lost. Now, if I were to do something that I knew was probably not cool, she'd be mad.
Sure.
But that day, man, I mean, she had this look of relief, terror, anger. Yes.
And hatred.
At me. Yeah. I got lost in a Hills department store, which was a regional department store where I grew up. And Hills was pretty sizable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't remember any of it. As far as how we got separated, I walked down every single aisle. I know she tried on some clothes. That probably had something to do with it.
Yes.
But I continued to walk around, and no one could find me either. So eventually, I went next door to Pizza Inn because I had quarters on me, and Pizza Inn had like three video games.
Yeah.
When you walked right in, they had like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, whatever the hell it was. So I just figured I'd go over there and use up my quarters and my money so I could play video games while she did whatever she wanted to do.
So I don't know how long I was playing video games, probably longer than I thought. So I walked back next door to Hills, and there's my mom crying at the counter, at the register. She sees me. She loses her damn mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought I was going to get my ass beat just because she could not find me. It was brutal.
I did not get lost, but my parents could not find me. I was 3 or 4, and I have some fleeting recollection of this, but at this point, we lived in Dale City, Virginia, and it was kind of an up-and-coming suburban area. It's massive now, but I'd gone for a walk, or as my mom says, I went for a walkie-walkie-walkie. That's what I told her. But I guess I was gone for about 3 hours, so I was in the neighborhood. I guess I'd gone to my friend's house, who lived like on the other side of the same block. Did not come home for a hot minute, but then there was a hailstorm and thunderstorm. I do remember that. And then I remember walking up the street toward my, and the sun had gone down in the time that I left between the time I'm walking home. And I remember walking toward my house, and my neighbor came flying out of the house, and she wrapped a towel around me because it was cold and still kind of drizzling at that point. And then the door to my parents' house opens, man, and my mom just like you said, your mom, you know, terrified, dry tears. She's like half screaming, half laughing, half crying. And, you know, where were you? What happened? Blah, blah, blah. And I guess that's when I very calmly said I went for a walkie, walkie, walkie. Well, they still weren't sure, like, where the hell did you walk? So they made me retrace my steps. My mother goes, we literally walked around the block, went to your friend's house. You were there for a little while. And then that mom had sent me home because the weather was about to turn. And instead of going back the way I came, I kind of followed the block around, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And then I guess when the rain hit, my mother, I was under someone's like front porch, a little bit of a crawl space down there. And I went down there to get out of the rain, very sensibly. And she said, you could see pictures you'd drawn with your finger in the dirt, waiting out the rain. And then when the rain got light enough, it was hailing a little bit. Mm-hmm. She's like, then you pulled your dumb ass out of there and started walking home. But in my mind at the time, I made the right decision. I don't want to get wet. I hang out under here, but I guess, as she says, it was about 3 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah, just pure panic.
Reason we asked, where did you get lost and for how long? These are some crazy stories.
I know, like, I did it once in a department store. Yeah. I feel like it happens, but I think all the parents are right to be like,
It's worse to be the parent.
And it is much worse to be the parent. I remember my daughter trying to run off. It was like Christmas time. We're flying back from Philly. It's Philly Airport at Christmas. So it's 8 billion people in there, and she's 3 years old, maybe. And we're in line at TSA, and she darts through, starts disappearing into this massive throng of people. I start to chase after her, right? Because you go into panic mode. I'm a TSA agent. Guy put his hand on my chest. He's like, sir, I can't let you through. I said, I'm going to get my daughter, whether you're here or not. I will come back. But I'm like, you're making a bad decision for your future right now. And he understood. So I'm like, it's about my kid. You know, at that point, everything goes out the window. And I snatched her dumb ass out of this massive crowd and went back through TSA. But you have to explain to them, like, hey, baby, I know you're excited to be here, and there's all these things going on. There's Christmas music playing, and it's a real kind of like positive thing. Sure. So, typically, you can't disappear from our line of sight. And my daughter, to this day, same thing. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
You ever gotten lost somewhere dumb?
What do you mean?
I don't know, like a parking lot or something.
Yeah, a parking garage, yes.
Yeah, parking garages can be tough.
Especially, have you parked down at the market since they've kind of redone it?
No.
Okay, so
I don't know that I would have the gonads to drive down in the market.
Don't park in the parking lot. There's nothing inherently wrong with the parking garages. But what you don't realize when you pull in, they're all kind of underground, right? And you pop up, and you walk through the market. Good luck remembering where you parked. If you don't write down where you parked, you will spend hours. Mm-hmm. We bumped into, it was two ladies, and they're just all kind of worked up. Me and my wife are leaving. And they're sort of laughing, and they're going back and forth with each other. I'm like, what's up? And she's like, I can't remember where I parked the effing car. We've been to 3 or 4 different parking garages, but we've been looking for the last hour and a half. I'm like, are you kidding? She's like, no. So they found their car in the garage that we were parked in. And the same thing. She said, we go to each parking garage. She hits her key fob, and finally they heard their horn. And these ladies were so happy.
Yep. Especially when it's a rental car.
Same thing at the airport.
Airport's tough.
I'm pretty good directionally, but still with the airport, I will have to take a picture of what stall I parked in. Otherwise, that thing is so freaking vast, dude. You will lose your car instantly.
You know, when you pull in that parking garage, it says, okay, if you're traveling this airline, go here.
Yeah.
Right? So I did that the last time. All right. I'll park close to my gate. I swear to God, man, I must have been as far away from the American Airlines terminal. Mm-hmm. It's like,
don't even try.
Why did you tell me to park up
don't
here?
Don't
like,
even try.
You sons of bitches. Like, here I am. Anyway.
The reason we asked, where did you get lost and for how long? A 48-year-old photographer. She survived many days lost in Australia's snowy mountains, and she got bit by a snake.
Australia's?
Yes. Yep. The woman reportedly frequented the area to document wild horses in a national park, was found alive on Sunday, according to the BBC. A search had been launched for Monday after a car company reported she had not returned the car that she had rented and could not be reached. The vehicle was later found without her in it. So the BBC reports she'd been lost in the wilderness for 6 days, and she'd actually driven into that area on October 15th. She told rescuers she got bit by a copperhead snake 4 days before she was found, and the area had been experiencing freezing temperatures at night.
Yay.
So this is not getting any easier. They said she was dazed and injured, suffered from dehydration, exposure, and a rolled ankle, as well as the one that was bitten. She was treated at the scene and taken to a hospital where she was reported to be in stable condition. She is, in fact, very fortunate to be alive. Obviously, went through a tough time. She is happy to be alive. But multiple agencies, mounted units, dog units, helicopter with infrared, they were all involved in the search. I would think that if I got bit by a poisonous snake that I could identify, things would not be going well right out of the gate. I would think that I would die after 4 days.
She probably
especially
did.
In Australia.
Right.
You just assume it's worse.
The plants want to freaking kill you.
Yeah. Right. All right. Now we have a story right here in Washington State. A man lost in the wilderness last month was rescued at the end of August, clinging for his life. And now Robert Schock is talking about his ordeal, talking to People magazine. Never did I dream that this kind of survival could ever be possible. This is insane.
Yeah, this is crazy.
He is a 39-year-old musician, describes himself as an ultra runner. So he was planning on doing a 20-mile run at North Cascades National Park. He parked his car at Hannigan Pass and the trailhead and only brought a small backpack with a dog pan for his pup, Freddy, who accompanied him. Now, Schock did not even have a shirt on.
Jesus.
He didn't have a shirt on. I'm not a hiker. I don't put on backpacks. I don't go out for multiple day trips. I don't know how to fish. I want to finish a course as fast as I can and come back home. Schock, however, got lost. And with no food or phone service and barely any clothes, and with his backpack as only a shield from the elements, on the third day he realized, I'm not doing well, and instructed Freddy, his dog, to go find his way home. Authorities did find Freddy on August 3rd.
Freddy's like, I was hoping
Freddy's
you'd
like,
say that.
I'm out, man.
Yeah, see you, bro.
Give me a couch.
Open door, boy.
From there, Schock survived on what he said were some pretty nasty berries and a large mushroom he found. It tasted like a normal mushroom you'd have on a pizza or something. But he soon started wasting away. He says he once saw a helicopter, but that despite his screaming and waving, it didn't see him. Now, by August the 30th, he didn't think he'd make it through the night. So he decided to let out for one final yell. Luckily, members of the Pacific Northwest Trail Association, they were working on a trail maintenance area in the area, and they heard him scream and found him alive, but not well. Robert may have only had another day left, maybe two. Schock told them he'd been stuck in the same spot for 2 weeks, unable to move. Jan Thompson, who lives in North Carolina, who is his mother, tells People she never gave up hope on her son, whom she reported missing on August 5th. The fact that Rob left his car window halfway down on the passenger side and his wallet in the car led the deputies to believe he went into the wilderness with no intention of coming out. But she said, I knew that was not the case. Honestly, I never felt he had perished in the park despite the odds. He tells People he's since gained back 40 pounds. And that other than some underlying joint pain, he's recovering pretty well. Still the ordeal. He says it's taken its toll on me, and I've aged several years because of it. He noted, adding that he has no intention of returning to that park to run again ever in the near future.
I wouldn't either. One thing that blows my mind about that story, besides all of it, is that he felt confident enough to trust the mushroom that he found.
Again,
you know what I mean? Crazy. Even if you're like starving, and look, at that point, maybe I tried too, but my thought would be like,
this could be the end of me right here.
Right. This might end me. I just don't know.
Also with the berries.
Right.
Also with any of that stuff. You know, like you just don't know.
But I guess at that point, what else are you going to do?
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to eat something.
I mean, maybe ferns. I know that the green stuff that hangs in the trees that you see in like, you know, rainforest type areas, that is edible. You can cook that. You can eat it raw.
But either way, man, apparently it...
I mean, at that point, I'm eating it.
It runs right through you, which causes another situation.
Oh, God,
so
right.
You're getting a little bit of nutrients, but I don't think it's worth, so to speak, the outcome
yeah.
of what will happen to you. And I'm sure that's, you know, one of those things. And you can pick it. I've picked it off the tree and eaten it before just to taste it.
How bad is it?
It's like eating cotton candy.
Really?
It's really like eating air. There's just not a lot of substance to it. That's why it blows in the wind and everything else. So,
well, even if somehow you got an animal, like, I don't know.
Now what do I do?
Right. Does he know how to start a fire?
Because he didn't have anything with him.
Well, you didn't go out there with a lighter. He went out there for a
lighter, nothing. So now it's got some dead animal. Like, yeah, sorry, man, I meant to eat you, but...
Yeah, that'd be vicious. You have to hand kill a squirrel, but then you don't cook it.
Now that was one thing we had to do in Boy Scouts, which was
hand kill squirrels.
No, start a fire without a match.
Right,
and that was one of the hardest. That was one of the hardest things that I did, because basically, you need to create a little bit of a bow.
Right,
you need to have a stick that you put into the bow, so when you saw back and forth, it twists the stick.
Yeah.
From that point in time, you need an anchor point into a rock, and then that's where you put...
Your kindling.
Kindling for friction. So you're just trying to friction that stick to the point where maybe you get a little heat, maybe you get a spark, and you can light that crap. It took me 2.5 hours to complete that project. It is harder than you think it is.
Well, sure, but at least for him, he had more than 2.5 hours.
I just had to light a fire with one match.
All right, well,
so you had a match?
Yeah.
Okay. Waterproof?
I didn't have to do that caveman stuff. Oh, yeah. Caveman. I still can.
All right. You should be able to.
I mean, I just worry with one match. Like, every time I use a matchbook, it doesn't always light on the first strike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the wind's blowing.
Mm-hmm. And the wood is wet.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Random.
What do you got there? Some wet wood?
Mm. I hope
so.
Yeah.
And a perfect world, mama. Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Eat some of those nasty berries.
Hola.
Jess, welcome to the program. Random question.
All right.
Let's go with this one, Jess. On a personal note, when you shower, do you typically shower in the morning or do you shower at night, would you say, for the majority of the time?
You know, it just really depends. For the most part, I like to shower like right before I go to bed. And then in the morning, just get up, brush my teeth, wash my face, do my hair. But if it's the weekend, usually, like, especially if we're getting ready to go do something for the day, I'll get up early and shower in the morning, but mostly at night.
I'm the exact opposite. Monday through Friday, I shower in the morning. Yeah. And a lot of it is just, so my general routine is get out of bed, say goodbye to the kids, sit in front of the computer for an hour or so to see what's going on in the world. And then from that point on, it is like brush your teeth, shower, coming to work. But a lot of it, it just kind of clears my mind when I'm there.
Right. Well, also, too, on the weekend, I tend to do physical activity and get dirty.
Yeah.
So whether that's yard work or whatever, there's no point in showering in the morning because I'm just going to have to go in the afternoon.
Oh, weekends, shower. Yeah. It's usually late afternoon.
I do an afternoon shower on the weekends, and I do a morning shower before I come into work. But I used to...
Like, I'm usually a morning shower guy, but every once in a while, if I have to do something really early, I'll just shower up, like, late, like 10:30, 11 p.m., then go to bed.
All right. What about you, Mike? Morning, night?
I'm mostly morning, yeah. And again, like if I do an auction or something like that, I'll rinse off at night.
Sure.
Yeah, it's morning.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you brush your teeth pre or post shower?
I usually do it pre. I just only because a lot of times you just end up with like dried ass toothpaste on your face, I've discovered. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm like, you know what? Just do it before you get in the shower. And then
I always did it after the shower.
I used to.
On weekday mornings. I don't know. Lately, though. Feel cleaner getting into that shower with that clean mouth.
Kind of do, man. I'm not taking my morning breath in there, you know.
I prefer the road shower. That's my thing, man. I'll shower multiple times. Like, if I go sleep in a hotel room, I'll end up going to the gym or swimming in the pool.
Yeah.
Whatever the deal is, but the water pressure is hot, you know. You're in there, you got like 9 towels. For whatever
half
reason,
time you can sit down.
Hotel room shower, the gym shower, it's just the pressure's better. They got all the things that you need. Like when you go to the sink, they've got some mouthwash for you, some Q-tips. You really don't need to.
You ever stay in the hotels that have it like just the soaps on the in the shower?
The dispenser?
Yeah. Stayed in one at the Fairfield Inn this weekend.
But you're right, dude. If I
shower more than
I shower more when I'm on the road for some reason.
Me too.
Also, is we don't have to pay for the shower.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Just crank up the hot water. Maybe even use a washcloth. I don't know. I'll get crazy.
Yeah, if I use a washcloth, I'm probably at a hotel.
But also, I feel like there's a decent amount of Saturdays where I shower twice. Just in the morning because I'm going to go do, you know, just normal day. But then whether you go to like a sporting event or you go hang out with friends, like sometimes you need to shower. Like if I'm going to go to like have dinner and drinks with people.
Sure.
I'll probably shower again before I go out. If I go to a sporting event when I get home, I'm like, I'm gross. I need to shower. Yeah.
Yes. Also, I find that if I do day drinking on the weekend, mm-hmm. I just need that shower before I go to dinner. Just to kind
get
of
you out of the haze.
Just kind of wake up a little bit, like feel a little bit more invigorated.
Oh yeah, because oh yeah, for sure.
I've gone slow and steady, but now's the time where I need like a little bump. You know what I mean? So
yeah, a little pick me up, so you don't seem as drunk as you actually
cocaine
are.
Cocaine showerish thing. The reason we asked, do you prefer to shower in the morning or night? Dr. Jason Singh, who has all kinds of medical insights on TikTok, recently weighed in on the topic. He joked was more debatable than pineapple on pizza. The debate: whether it's better to shower in the morning or at night. Now, you would think the right answer would be largely up to just personal preference, much like which way to face while showering. Do you guys face the shower head or do you turn your back on?
Both.
Yeah, pretty much equally.
Right, but if I'm getting down to like scrubbing myself and whatnot, I got my back to the shower.
See, when I just get in, the initial, boy, this feels good, let me wake up, I'm facing it.
Yeah, I'm facing the shower head the entire time almost.
Really?
Unless I'm washing my back and rinsing it off.
Yeah, I'm with Miles. I don't know. Like, I'll soap up my head, put it under. I'm taking that shower on.
If I turn around and have my back to the shower head to rinse off my head or whatever the deal is and put my head back, I'll get dizzy.
Really?
Well, here's my thing. If I'm in a hot shower and I'm just let it run on the back of my neck, I'm either sick or hungover.
Sure.
Yes. No, you're right. Something is not right. I'm just like...
They said there are definitive pros and cons to each option, which could settle the debate once and for all. Singh says in the clip that overnight, your body accumulates germs like bacteria and funguses through the process of sweating and shedding skin cells, all of which help create odor. So when you shower off this residue in the AM, it brings your skin microbiome back to more hygienic baseline. It makes a pretty compelling case for morning showers. But he says, wait a minute. He went on to say that nighttime showering has three different things going for it. One, it helps release melatonin to help induce sleep.
All right.
Plus, when your body adjusts from a warmer temperature to a cooler one, that also helps your body prepare for a good night's rest. The second benefit is it washes away the entire day of grime, which, let's be honest, can be very therapeutic sometimes. And lastly, showering at night is the better way to help hydrate your skin, making it a better option for those with sensitive or dry skin. So if you have sensitive or dry skin, you should shower in the evening. He said the bottom line, overall, nighttime showers have more benefits to it, but morning showers have really one benefit, and that is better hygiene. He encouraged viewers to weigh in with their own opinions. People did not hold back. You will never convince me to go to bed dirty, one person said. Worst part about nighttime showering is long, wet hair.
Not a problem I have.
I hate going to bed with wet hair. But yeah, he says that, I guess between the two, nighttime showering is in fact the best.
I'm doing it wrong.
Still to come, your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today: the top 10 cities in the United States for rats and your favorite candy bars. And we got your emails coming up next in the Men's Room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.